Father God, as we open your word today, I just ask for clarity and wisdom and the ability to speak clearly your words and not my own thoughts. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you were willing to share word with us. Amen. Well, the book of John is a pretty precious book, and I think as we go through it the next few months, it's going to become more precious, hopefully, to all of us. John gave us a summary statement in John 20, verse 31. It's up on the wall. It's also, it's in your pew Bibles. John 20, verse 31 is on page 1658 in the pew Bibles. These are written, these things that were written in John, they're written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How many of us want to have eternal life? It's only attained one way, through the name of Jesus. And John has written us a book, a document, to help us understand ways to believe stronger, better, more completely, more honestly and truthfully. And this isn't just for your first confession of salvation, where we make a decision for the Lord, but it's also so that we as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, can believe in a greater depth. Belief is kind of one of those words that gets thrown out there a lot, and sometimes we understand it more completely than other times. In Acts 16:31, there's a Philippian jailer, and he's like, what do I need to do to be saved? And Paul, who's been locked up and chained and shackled and singing in there, and then given the opportunity to escape, chose not to because he wanted to share this good news, this gospel with the jailer. He says, hey, don't freak out. We're all still here. Nobody left. And he says, what do I need to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. I want to tell everybody. I want to tell your family. And so at that point, the jailer listens, the household listens, and they become followers of the way, followers of Jesus Christ, where just previously they were trying to keep that contained in the jail. You can't keep God locked up. John 3:16, a very familiar verse that we'll get to. For God so loved the world, he loves everybody, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, there's that word again, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we want that belief that leads to life. James, though, talks about another kind of belief. He says, you believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. It's more than a head knowledge. If we stop where we look into Scripture and we're trying to get all of our ducks in a row and make sure that our doctrine's 100% correct and we get everything just right, we can equal demons. We can bring ourselves up to that level. That's about how high we can hoist ourselves to.
That's where I was before I got saved.
Yeah, before we're saved, before God touches our hearts and turns us, that's the best we can hope for. And yet that's important that we believe. And if we shudder, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. And then we can turn to him and truly follow through on that belief. And this is the belief that leads to life that John writes about. So all of the things in his gospel here are things that are supposed to help us know Jesus, that he's the Messiah, he's the Christ, he's the Savior, he's the Anointed One, and that through our knowledge of him, we can have belief that leads to life. Mark 9:24, another one of my favorite stories. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed. Jesus said, you know, do you believe that I can heal your son? And the dad's like, yes, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. God, I want to believe more. And as we look into the book of John, that should be our prayer, that we can say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome those areas in my life where I'm not demonstrating belief. My actions are not showing that I believe fully. Teach me how to get there, God. Take me there. Carry me along. So John writes this book for us. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that, by believing, not like the demons believe, where it's like we have head knowledge, but by believing in a life-changing way, that we may have life in his name. So that brings us to John 1:19. Today's message is 1:19 through 34. We're on page 1,618 in your pew Bibles. John 1, verse 19. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. You remember John's dad was a priest, and John's dad had gotten the message that his wife was going to have a baby. And that was while he was working in the temple doing his priestly duties. And John is in the priestly line. And so they're aware of him, and they're hearing that there's this guy that's out in the desert, and he's baptizing people, and he's trying to preach the message of repentance. And this made sense to the Jews for the Gentiles. The Gentiles all needed to repent, and they had something that was baptism that would bring them into the area of belief in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scripture. They would baptize them, a baptism of repentance for the wicked, dirty, evil Gentiles. That would be most of us, right? And they wanted to help them learn to follow the Jewish God. But John's out there in the desert telling the Jews that they needed to repent also. And he's got a message. He's got a testimony for everyone. It's not just for the Gentiles that they need to become like Jews. It's like, you know what? There's only one way to salvation. And so he wants to write about this here. John, the baptizer, not John that wrote the book here, is in the desert and he's baptizing people. And so the leaders in the church, in the Hebrew church, go out into the desert, or they send representatives out into the desert to find out what's this guy doing, check his credentials, find out if he's staying proper in his doctrine. They're concerned about that. John's testimony. This is his testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. It's like, okay, who are you? We know that you're Zechariah's son. We know that you're in the priestly line. But why are you out in the desert dressed up strangely and eating grasshoppers and telling people they need to repent? And baptizing Jews. We thought the Jews were already in the kingdom. Well, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. And John the Apostle stresses this because there were still, by the time John wrote this book, there were still people that were followers of John the Baptizer. And he's like, okay, this was John the Baptizer's very words. I'm not the Messiah. Okay? Hebrew word for the Anointed One. I'm not the Christ. Greek word for the Anointed One. He's not the Savior. He's not the one that's going to bring people life and light. He's not that one. He's very, very strong on this. The Greek couldn't be more strong. He confessed. He confessed freely. He made sure that everybody knew. That's not me. They asked him who he was, and he told them who he wasn't. Okay? They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? That's a strange question for most of us, but in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, it said that before the Messiah comes, Elijah was going to come to prepare the way. And in fact, when Jesus talks about John the Baptist, he refers to Elijah. He's coming in the strength and power of Elijah. This isn't Elijah reincarnated. It's like he had told John the Baptizer's father, he's going to come in the strength and power of Elijah. So he's like, very clearly he's saying, I'm not Elijah. I'm not that one. Now Jesus said that he came as a messenger, and I believe that Elijah actually will come back.
I do too.
And well, how can that be? You know, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Well, Elijah kind of flew off into heaven and didn't die. There's going to be two prophets we read about in Revelation that come. And my understanding is that's probably going to be him. But I also know that Elijah and Moses showed up at the Transfiguration. So there was some teaching about Elijah coming. And the Jews knew this and they understood it. They knew Scripture. So that, well, are you Elijah? Are you the one that's preparing the way? And John, as the one that's giving the testimony, wants to make sure that nobody thinks it's about him. It's like, when we share Jesus, it shouldn't be about us. Are you Elijah? I am not, he said. Are you the prophet? Back in Deuteronomy 28, there had been, Moses said that a prophet's going to come. A prophet greater than I am, is what Moses said. And he's referring to Christ. And he's like, no, I'm not. He made sure that nobody would mistake him for the Messiah. Nobody would mistake him for the message. He wasn't the Word. It already said in John here, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So that's the one that John wants to point everybody to. And so to make sure that they don't keep looking at him, he's like, it's not about me. Look away. Finally, they said, well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? I've heard that question over the last few weeks, months, as the presidential candidates are getting up on stages and they're asked, who are you? Why should we vote for you? And they're more than happy to talk about themselves on and on. That's not John. John the Baptizer is like, doesn't want to go there. What do you say about yourself? He's like, I'm a voice. I'm like the rest of you. You know, there's short-term wind. You hear a voice and then it's gone. And he's referring to Isaiah 40. He says, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Let's get off of this. It doesn't really matter who I am. I'm a voice. And I'm trying to tell you an important message. And it's not me. Now the Pharisees, who had been sent to question him, they're asking, well, then why do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Why would you baptize? Another good question. Because they understand that this Messiah is going to come and he's going to be the one that brings the Spirit and all of truth will be known through him. Why are you baptizing? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He says, there's somebody so much more important than me. I just baptize with water. It's a message. I'm a voice to lead you to the one, but it's not me. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. I'm not worthy to clean his feet or unstrap his sandals after a dirty walk on the road. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. There was a couple Bethanies. That's why this one's mentioned that way. It's the Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, not the Bethany close to Jerusalem. We've got this message of John trying to explain that it's not about him. If we're to give testimony, and I believe we are, because God says, go into the whole world and preach the good news, preach the gospel. We don't preach about ourselves. We preach about Jesus. We keep pointing people away from us and to him. He must increase and I must decrease. Well, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you think about lambs, Abraham and Isaac, they're heading up the mountain, Abraham's been told that he's supposed to sacrifice his own son, his one that he calls his only begotten son, even though he'd already had a son previously. He's going to sacrifice his son, and he's carrying the wood up and the fire, and he's got all this, and Isaac's a strapping young youth, he's probably the one carrying the wood there. And he says, we've got everything we need, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says to his son, God will supply the lamb. And I'm sure that as John the Baptizer is pointing and saying, look, the lamb, this is a story that's going to come to most of the Jewish listening ears. It's like, oh yeah, God will supply the lamb. They understood the lamb because there was a daily sacrifice, a morning sacrifice, an evening sacrifice. There was this lamb. There was a Passover lamb. Everything was continually about sacrificing. But even in the Old Testament, everyone had to have a pretty good understanding that their salvation didn't come through the sacrificial blood of that lamb. That was temporary. Tomorrow, they needed another sacrifice. Tomorrow night, another sacrifice. Every year, another sacrifice. Continually. And then the sin offerings. And there were so many different things. And no one was saved through the sacrificial system. Galatians is very clear about that. If a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. If there was a way that we could have eternal life through following the list of rules, we wouldn't need Jesus. Galatians 3:11, and he's quoting an Old Testament passage here. He's quoting Habakkuk. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, including all of those sacrifices, because the righteous will live by faith. That was so clear in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's Hebrew Bible. If anybody that studied that knew that, yeah, faith is what was going to bring salvation. And so Jesus is the lamb that removes sin and gives life. Not those lambs at Passover, not the lamb in the morning or the evening sacrifice, not any of those sacrificial lambs. The only one sacrificial lamb is Jesus. Behold, the lamb, the one lamb that takes away sin. This is a lamb that actually works. This is a lamb that we don't need to have any more sacrifices, any more lambs after this. It's done. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Look, there's Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God. He was born 6 months after me, but he was before me. He's eternal. This is the Lamb that you need to look to. I myself did not know him. I find that odd because they were cousins. And I know that Mary went to visit John's mother, Elizabeth. When Elizabeth was pregnant and Mary found out she's going to be pregnant, and they went and visited. And there was clearness that Mary's child was going to be the Savior, the Lord. Elizabeth did a great song, and Zechariah and Mary, they're all singing to God about this wonder of wonders. And I'm pretty sure that story stayed within the family and everybody would have known. And yet, you remember, Jesus' own brothers didn't believe that he was the Messiah. I'm sure his cousins got questions too. It's like, okay, he's just another person like us.
But when John the Baptist was in, when Mary met Elizabeth, and the baby, John the Baptist jumped for joy.
John the Baptist, when he's in the womb of his mother, leaps for joy because... And then Elizabeth goes on about, you know, how can I be so blessed that the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord, has come to visit me? So he's saying, I didn't know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. He knew that he had a mission. He'd been told from the very beginning. John had been set aside as special way, way before he was born. He'd been prophesied in a special way. His mom was barren. His parents couldn't have children. And then, in their old age, they find out, we're going to have a son. And that son's going to be special, and he's going to be set aside and set apart. And there was a Nazarite vow. And so he had been carefully raised by his parents to be this messenger for God. And he knew that he had to do that. He kind of had been told, I'm sure, that Jesus, his cousin, was the one. But it's like, that doesn't make any sense. But I've got to go, and I've got to do what I've been told to do. And out of obedience, he's out there baptizing with water. Typo. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And John had been told by whoever had sent him, Holy Spirit had explained to him that the one that you see, the Holy Spirit come and remain on and stay on, rest on, that's the one. Okay? So that's when he really knew Jesus was the one. When he had baptized Jesus quite a few weeks before this particular incident here. Jesus had already been out and been tempted in the wilderness for the 40 days. And so John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit. This is eyewitness testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove. It wasn't a dove, but he came down as a dove and he remained on Jesus. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So John's making this distinction. It's like, I baptized with water. You know what? That's going to get you wet. You can make a decision. You can feel good about yourself. But what you really need is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you want salvation, if you want eternal life, baptized into life, you need to be baptized with the Spirit. In Acts 1:5, it talks about John the baptizer again. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Who's telling them that? It's Jesus. He's saying, you know, go to Jerusalem and wait, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, it was Pentecost, so it was 50 days, yeah. I'm not sure how many days after he spoke to him, but 50 days after the Passover. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, belief that leads to life. If Holy Spirit's dwelling in us, we're alive. The last verse that I'm covering today. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John gives this testimony. So finally, you know, they came to him back in verse 19 and they said, who are you? Who are you? And he pretty much said, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I'm going to give a testimony for him, not for me. The testimony is that Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the one that can immerse us in his love. Jesus is the one that will change our lives. Jesus is the one that we can trust and count on. All of the book of John, it's written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you did come, that you are Messiah, that you are the one. We're going to turn to communion.